We've been studying in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and a very rough passage of scripture for any church, but after all, we're saved, and at the end of the day, we want to know what the Lord has to say. And if it, like Pastor said, if it skins us, it skins us. And I get skinned about every day. I get into the Word of God every day and get quite a few chapters listened to or read. And I'm in my older age, I'm enjoying listening to the Word of God. And I have a little set. I look like a hippie. I got a little set of headphones that plug up in my ears. And they say that Bluetooth hooks up to some little device, your phone or whatever you got. And, man, I got the King James on there, and I can just be washing dishes, sweeping the floor, whatever I do, sawing wood. Well, the saw kind of, you know, I get the Bible, and I enjoy that. And once in a while, it'll give you a skinning. Not looking no skinning today. Take your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at that verse 15 to 16. We'll try to get out of chapter 3 and move on. I think the most powerful verses for church leadership were in chapter 3. And I want you to see the last couple thoughts, very powerful words that the Lord gave Paul for the church in these last times. But if I tarry long, and Paul said, I might not get back. That church was in Ephesus, and he's telling Timothy, I may be detained. This is a prison epistle, and it's while he was in prison that he finally met his demise, and he was killed. He was martyred, if you please. So he knew his days were numbered. He wrote, I don't think he wrote out of the desperation that he might not live another day. I think his mindset was totally different. He would rather be with the Lord than to be left here after he knew what he knew. What a mindset. But with those kinds of thoughts, God's able to give him these powerful words. If I tarry long, so he wasn't going to be, he may tarry longer. I might not see you again, basically what he's saying, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. So he's writing some very heavy directions for the church, our behavior, which is in the church, he spells it out, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the pillar and ground of the truth, you at first reading may think, well, why did he choose those words? Could I say this? He didn't choose those words. God chose those words. He penned those words. So with that mindset, when we look at it, we're not to take any word lightly, especially that word pillar, because a pillar designates a certain thinking from the scriptures. And so there's a doctrinal ramification in the very term. The book of Jeremiah uses those kinds of terms, and let us begin to just study the word just for a moment. Jeremiah 1:18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city. Now he's talking about something that's God's. He's talking about the holy city. He's talking about the Zion. He's talking about Jerusalem. And I'm glad to say this, and I shouldn't go political here on you, but I'm glad that our president acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Sorry. And I'm not on any platform anyplace. I'm a guy that believes this book. And Jerusalem is a holy city. But watch what the scripture says, a defense city, and an iron pillar. There are different kinds of pillars, but he says iron because iron is one of the strongest structures. They're still building high rises out of iron, red iron. Lonnie has a son, a young man that he's an iron worker, and he probably has walked some red iron, and we still use it. Say, why? It's strong. And here the word pillar, an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the king of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. So he was talking here to the children of Israel in the time of their demise and captivity. And God said that that city was likened to an iron pillar. But I want you to focus on the word pillar, and the choice of the word is just not a good word to use, because I found it in a theros or a dictionary. It's the word the Holy Spirit used, and we're dealing with that word here in our text. Matthew 16 to the New Testament, watch what he says with the same use of the same word the Spirit has chosen. And I say, Matthew 16, 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So another institution that God's very favorable to through the scriptures, is not just the holy city Jerusalem, but it's the church today, brings it down into our focus, more into our focus. And so verse 19 in Matthew 16, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, the word pillar isn't used there, but I want to use the thoughts of something dear to the Lord's heart, which is the church today, and then show you where the Holy Spirit does use that same word again, and then we'll try to draw some teaching from exactly why it's put that way. Let me build on this just a little bit. He says in Romans 3, 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Who? The founding fathers. You're right there. Let me back up. I had you in 1 Timothy. If you back up to 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, Ephesians 2, and I may include this in another place. Therefore, you know more strangers, foreigners, and fellows. I'm in verse 19, the saints of the household of God, but are built upon a foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly joined. I wanted that word, and I may not find it because I'm going off the top of my head here. Well, let's move on. I thought he called them the pillars, and he may. I've probably written it down. But let me go on. I'm going to capitalize on the word pillar and who the pillars of the church are, and how that even today God blesses the pillars, just like he did the iron pillar of Jerusalem, just like he would the church, who he's very, if you please, sympathetic and lovingly toward. And he does say the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. But I want to work the pillars in here. Galatians 2:9, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be, there it is, pillars. That's the verse I was looking for. Now, he's still talking about the church, but I'm over in the book of Galatians now with a verse where the Holy Spirit used the word pillar again in reference to the leadership in the church. You say, oh, Brother Phil, do we still have pillars in the church today? Yes. They're the God-called men that are not ashamed to step up through discipline, through a licking. God called me to preach. Boy, I remember when God called me, I didn't want to be no pillar of nothing. I wanted to run and hide. But then after surrendering to the call, and it was a surrender, a total surrender, I found out that God had other plans for my life. I no longer had to worry about what my vocation was going to do in life. I was going to be a preacher. And I didn't know at the time that he called me that one day I would be like one of the old guys and the beginners of the church. I would be a pillar in the church. And that's the word. You're looking at a pillar today. Right here. You say, well, I want to be a pillar. Well, God chose to call the pillars of the church the leader or the pastors or preachers in the church. Our pillars today would be those men that God has called to preach. Pastor is a pillar. He's the main pillar. He's the pillar of iron in the church. I'm an under-shepherd under the under-shepherd. So I'm a kind of a weaker pillar. I guess I'd be a, what would you say? a mud aluminum. A mud, I was going to go mud, but man, water be, I'll go aluminum. Jeremiah is a pillar in the church. That's why he's called to preach. He's one of the preachers in the church. Brother Samuel Jarvis, one of the pillars in the church. Say, what's he do? He's a preacher, and he goes out of the church ministering and trying to help, especially his people or anybody he runs across, really. Say, well, what about the teachers? They're pillars. They're like pillars in the church. And they have a gift to teach, because you're going to find them in the catalog of those people that God called. Some preachers, some evangelists, some teachers. They're the pillars in the church. Now, let's follow the thought. I want to finish Galatians 2:9. When James, Cephas, now James and John, they were brothers, and I believe this is a reference, that there's other James in the Bible, and there's James, the, if you please, pastor of the New Testament church in the book of Acts, who writes the first, or the book of James, which is probably the earliest New Testament book written. And that's why the book of James has a lot of apostolic overtones in it, so on and so forth. But it's definitely to the first church, and James is considered a pillar. You say, well, who's Cephas? Cephas is Barjonas. Cephas is Peter. Cephas is the guy the Lord was talking about in Matthew when he says, upon this rock, talking about himself, but thou art Peter, Petros, the little rock. He's going to use Peter in the church for what? As a pillar. You say, why? He was not only an apostle, but he was called of the Lord, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and a preacher of the word of God. And it's Peter, or Cephas, we know him as Peter, who's doing the first preaching on the day of Pentecost. And they're in the early church, in the Jerusalem church, and then Peter moves on, goes to other places, and finally he's incarcerated toward the end of his life. He writes 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and he's crucified. He dies a martyr's death. You say, why'd they kill him? Because he was a pillar in the church. Say, what are you trying to say this morning? I'm trying to say the pillars in your church have a target on their back. The devil's going to shoot at them. Amen. it gets old after a while. But he says, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, they not only seemed, but Paul's recognizing them as pillars. He said, perceive the grace that was given unto me. Because see, there was contention over the early church, what Peter and where Peter stood. One day is with the Gentiles, the next day is with the Jews. This thing said there's no difference between the Greek or the Jew or the Greek. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 16, they have what they call the great debate. And that's why Paul's saying this, because the Galatian people, they were bewitched. They had heard the gospel. Somebody come in and preached a little Judaism to them, and they added works to their faith. And Paul's kind of rebuking them here and say, hey, they seem to be pillars, and if they're preaching this stuff, then they shouldn't be preaching them. They're pillars in the church. So pillars in the church need to have their doctrine straight. And let me say this. I'm glad to work in a church, and I don't think I could work in a church, where I wasn't on the doctrinal same page with the leadership in the church. Amen. Now, I'm not saying, it's not about character traits. Hear me very carefully, because most people get hung up, well, he's just a little too short for my liking. I like a big preacher. You need to get over your bigotry on junk. I know a church that voted a pastor out because his belt buckle, rubbed the top back of the pulpit, and when he preached it made noise and it rubbed up here like that, and they could hear that. We don't want him, his belt buckle hits the pulpit. And I'm thinking, oh my soul, it ain't about that, folks. It's not about how a character trait that might be in your leadership. You might look at Jeremiah and say, well, he's too young. Paul addressed that and said, don't let them mess with the fact that you're a young man. If you've been, and he was saved at an early age and learned how the foot of his grandmother and his mother and his grandmother, and he knew those precepts. He was trained up well and right, and so he had the spiritual depth. Don't let it rise on fall on some character flaw or some character trait. Now, you'll get people out in the ministry that'll look at Pastor Tom and say, "Now, I wouldn't have him, man. He got a goatee. Man, what's he trying to be, a hippie?" I don't care if he's got hair down to his knees. It's not about that. Now, you understand, I'm not telling him to grow his hair down to his knees. You say, "Well, you don't have a beard. You don't have a mustache. You don't want to see me in facial hair." And as long as my wife is living, you never will. You say, "What? Well, that's just character stuff." And it's not about that. I don't care if he wears a string Western tie and cowboy boots and a cap. I don't care. It's not about that. I don't care if he likes bluegrass or that high sophisticated white collar music. I don't care. It's not about that at all.
Yeah.
It's about the Word of God and the doctrine, where we stand. And believe it or not, when you got people on the same page there, it sure is that common denominator that equalizes those kinds of things. And so, pillars in the church. So here we have pillars in the church. And when he says here, "They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship," he's referring back in Galatians 2:9, back to when Paul was beginning to go forth in the book of Acts, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. In other words, we're going to the Jew, and they're a little different, a little quirky. They don't like Gentiles, but we definitely wholeheartedly want you to go to Gentiles. Now, you got the same thing. Are you going to blackball somebody because they minister to a certain sect of people? And if you do, you're not very spiritual at all. "Well, I just don't know how them Indians out there on the Indian reservation, all they can do is drink liquor and get drunk and live on welfare. I don't think anybody ought to waste their time." Something wrong with your thinking, man. They're a soul. "Oh, them Amish people, I don't know why we didn't want to send anybody over to them Amish people. You know, they're never going to get right. They're in a cult." Man, there's something wrong with your thinking. You ain't thinking right. They're souls. And if you're a pillar in the church, you don't care what ethnic background they're of. You don't care what color they are. When I work on the street, I work with a lot of ethnic people. All races, all kinds. I don't care what color they are. I don't care if their skin's red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter. You say, "Why?" I'm not working with a skin color. I'm working with a soul, man. It's a spiritual thing. You say, but see, somebody that's not of pillar status going to get hung up on a belt buckle. Yeah, amen. So if the devil can't prevail against the church, and he can't, how do some people think they can talk against the church, its leaders, pillars, and not reap to themselves a curse, trouble, and heartache? Be careful. And you have a lot of that going on in our super spiritual congregations out across the land, because people have personality conflicts, and they say, "Oh, I just don't like the way he talks. He sounds mad all the time, or he tells too many jokes." You know, look, what they say, eat the meat and throw out the bones. And people just need to learn how to get past some of that stuff. Well, I know there's preachers out there, they'll have somebody in because I remember when they had Dave Jones in, they'd call him Mr. Culture Shock, because they didn't know what he was going to say. And man, you know, he'd jump that high and sweat and carry on. Me and Bonnie used to go hear him preach because, man, he was funny. I hate to say this, it was entertaining. But you know what? And he had told me one time, he said, "I can't minister to everybody." He said, "I'm just who I am." And I'm thinking, yeah, you just who you are. And he's still pastoring. He's over here still alive. He's an old man now. He's pastoring, working over here, so. Say, he was a little different, amen. Everybody couldn't say, I get it, I got it. But listen, don't let the sun rise and set on some character flaw, man, or something you think is a character flaw. That's generally what it is, just somebody's bigoted mindset and never took a good close look at themselves in the mirror. If you ever got a good look at yourself and what's on the inside, you wouldn't be near as critical of other folks. You got that right here. All right. So here, let me finish the thought. We'll try to get out of this chapter. So the pillar and the ground of the truth and the ramifications there, the word pillar, I want to capitalize on that, and the word truth. And last week, you remember, we was on the living God. This week, we're on the pillar and the truth. You better thank God today, you got the truth. It's the book. It's the book. I may misspeak sometimes. I don't mean to, and I'm not trying to. But one thing about this book, if we'll stay in this book and put this book out, it's truth. I don't care if he's a high-pitched preacher. I don't care if he's a baritone, low-pitched bullfrog preacher. I don't care if he's an air sucker. I don't care if he's simply spoken and real mild man. I don't care. It's not about that. It's about the Word of God. It's the truth. Now, and you can get something from anybody that's putting out the truth. I don't care if they got a speech impediment. I don't care if they sing when they preach. Some of those black folks, man, they're singers. I can't do it, but boy, I like to hear them once in a while. Say, what is that? That's their styles, what God gave them, man. And that's who they are. But it's the truth you're looking for. Is he putting out the truth? Oh, I just don't like how he looks. You need to get over that. Well, you hear him when he preaches, he does that all the time. I can do that too, but I'm not down where they do that, so I don't do that. No, I'm just kidding. Truth. He says, and without controversy, grace of the mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh, been studying the mysteries in the institute. We'll have institute tonight. Justifying appearance, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. So I won't say much about the mystery other than we're studying the seven mysteries. I'll say that about it in the Institute of Evening Service. And we're two mysteries in. I thought I'd taught one, but I didn't. And I'm ready to teach that one tonight. So we're ready to go. But here, the truth, I want you to capitalize on the truth more than the mystery. So I'm not really teaching the mysteries, but it is here and it's mentioned and Paul brings it up. And by the way, a mystery is something not easily understood. That's why it's a mystery. And I won't say any more because there's plenty of lectures and lessons on it and we've taught them. John 1:17, I like this verse. I've used this verse many times because it deals with the truth. It deals with grace and truth. But we're dealing basically with truth right this moment. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Look at John 1:17. I read the wrong verse. For the law was given by Moses. Okay, we got that. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that's not saying there was no grace and truth before Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ shows up, it was manifested. This thing we know as grace, the salvation we receive by grace through faith, and that faith, which is something from God, one of the fruits of the Spirit, not a carnal worldly faith that you might have in your car will start when you crank it, or your battery's still good after it's 6 years old. This is something else. But it's the truth of these doctrines that are so important, the truth of them. The world wouldn't recognize them as necessarily truth. And when I say truth, I mean dogmatic truth. I mean unmovable truth. I mean something set down in stone here, better yet, the Word of God that is not going to change. Truth. So that word for in John, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, that all truth is substantiated. The Word of God. His Word. He's the author, the Bible says, and finisher of our faith. That's the truth. Here, let me finish. Well, let me give you John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, this is a cornerstone on truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, there are three points there. It breaks down in a threesome. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm the way. We're not dealing with that, but we understand that. The way, the truth. We're going to deal with truth. And then thirdly, the life. But the truth. Do you realize there's a lot of stuff running around out there claiming to be the truth that's not the truth? Oh, preacher, surely not. Everybody's going to heaven. No, I wish they were. And God made a way for them to go. But you got somebody trusting in their sacraments and not in the finished work of Christ. They're trusting in the wrong thing. And could I say it kindly and as softly as I can? They're going to go to hell believing that.
That's good preaching.
Oh, brother, that's too rough. Jesus preached on hell 53 times. Say, well, Paul never said the word one time. Some preacher said that's because Jesus said it all. But if Jesus ain't afraid to say it and ain't afraid to warn people about it, and he dealt with the so-called, and get this, so-called truth of the day, and they just couldn't receive it, man. They couldn't believe it because he is the truth. This book is his penmanship. It's breathed by the Holy Ghost of God. It's the truth. You say, well, why do you preach the book? It's the truth. Why are we told to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God? It's the truth. We're not going to wallow in our sin. We're not going to wallow in our worldly affairs. We're going to come together to be fortified spiritually by the truth of the Word of God. And the truth of the Word of God will do more for your soul, more for your being, more for your psyche, if you please, more for your emotional makeup, if you please, more for your craziness, if you believe, than anything I know. The truth. Somebody that really got me to thinking about that was years ago. I left Peaceful Valley, which is down on the Mexican border in the Mission, Texas area. Bonnie and I lived there for a while, and we lived in Farr and McAllen area, and you'd go to Mission, Texas, which was on out towards Zapata. Well, not quite as far as Zapata, and we work in the Lester Roloff home down there. And so Brother Roloff was going to be in Corpus Christi. Man, that's way on up the coast. Way. And I had this little car. It was called a Plymouth Cricket. They only made them about 2 years. They weren't worth a cricket. I bought it used because I liked to tinker, and it needed a transmission. Had a two-speed transmission in it, a low and a high and a reverse. And I took that transmission out. I thought, I'm going to rebuild that transmission. I just like to fool with stuff. Had it on the coffee table in the living room in our mobile home. I can redefine trailer trash. You could hold that transmission in one hand, and I had thought I had all the oil out, the rest of it run out on the floor. I think Bonnie said, are you going to do what I think you're going to do? I said, yeah, I'm going to rebuild that transmission right here on the coffee table. And I got a transmission rebuild kit for about $30. Do I need to tell you all this? Anyway, put all that together and put that thing back together, and I need to try that car out. I mean, it was shifting good, running good, that little old four-banger in it. So me and Bonnie loaded in that little old Cricket, probably best thing we had to drive at the time, and put Todd in the back and Brittany in the back. Was that all the kids we had when we had that? That's all we had, wasn't it? And we lit out for Corpus Christi. And I was going to tell you this because it illustrates the fact of truth. We drove that car, it ran like a scalded cricket all the way up there and all the way back, and got up there. Got in that big old fancy church. Brother Roloff was in there, 2,000 people, and it was called the People's Church. First thing he said, he calmed everybody down when he finally got up. They had a bunch of singing and testimony and kids up quoting verses and all. He got up, put his hands up, and calmed everybody. But you could hear a pin drop in that thing. He said, now tonight, I'm going to tell you some truth. Boy, it's so quiet in there. Like, boy, we've been believing the lie so long. It's about time we heard some truth. Talk about power and truth.
That's good.
And then he said, now, I know some of you struggling with this. He had them all calmed down. People looking at him. You never knew what he was going to say. Now, he never said anything off color or anything like that. He said, I want you to shift your mind up into neutral. Quit thinking about the TV. He was big on that. Quit thinking about where you're going to eat after a while. He says, and let this Bible do some thinking for you. It's the truth. It'll straighten out your wrong thinking. And man, I got a hold of that thing. And 30 years later, I still can't forget that that book will think right for you. That book will make you feel right. That book will make you talk right. That book will make you witness right. You say, why? Because it's a book of truth, and we need the truth. We're buried in lies. Everything you watch on TV is a lie. Matt Dillon didn't draw on everybody and beat everybody. I don't care what you see it on TV. He didn't. That's a show. Flicka. He was never a wild horse. Superman. He never stopped locum. You see what I'm saying? We believe so many lies. Coke's not the real thing. Tide ain't the only detergent that'll... Hush up. Tide ain't the only detergent to get your dirt out. Huh? We are swimming in a cesspool of lies. And when you get to church, I don't care if it's the simplest verse in there. I don't care if it's the same one you heard three Sundays in a row. It's the truth. And that's how powerful that is. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to use this word right here. I want you to capitalize on the word pillar, because the pillar is supposed to put out the truth of the word of God. So we're to give the truth this morning. Now, this is all the pastor's fault. I wasn't going to preach till he said what he said. I'm about out of time. Aren't you glad for the truth? Say, what'd you get in church today? Then I don't know for sure, but I don't know exactly. Remember every little detail and every story told. Some of them jokes I'd heard 30 times, but man, he put out the truth. Amen. And brother, that truth will subliminally, that's a big $60 word, work on all those lies that's running through your head. Because, man, we can sure imagine some vain things. You ever notice that? I mean, we come to church. Oh, look at Sister So-and-so. She's dressed up fit to kill, and ain't even Easter yet. Would you get off of that? Truth will set you free. Think on those things, so the truth of the Word of God. Let me give you a couple verses, and I'll quit. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Questioning Jesus, the Lord of glory, the King of kings. He says, Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am king. In other words, you fool. I didn't say it like that, I did. To this end was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto, be careful, I should bear witness unto the truth. Pilate wouldn't have known truth if he was, and he was looking right at it and didn't know truth. Truth. Everyone that is of the truth, Jesus said this, everyone that is of the truth, be careful, heareth my voice. When somebody goes out and says, oh, I can't get nothing out of the word of God, that preacher up there, he preached the same thing last Sunday that he preached. I don't care if he preaches the same thing every Sunday, it's the truth. And we ought to get the truth, because there will be some area of our life that it could help every week, every message, every time, time after time after time after time. People say, why do you keep going up there? You know, they don't ever get nothing going on. I don't know. Around God's people, around the truth, at least the Word of God's preached. Well, I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they sing. You need to get over that. Grow up a little bit. Watch out. Truth. Paul told this to the Corinthian people in 2 Corinthians 6:7. But by thy... Oh. By the word of truth, I like that. By the power of God, same breath. By the word of truth, by the power of God. There's a connection between the truth and the power of God, the word of God and the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By the word of truth. Listen, that armor that you read about in Ephesians chapter 6 that you're to be girt about with, brother, it's a spiritual armor, and it's fortified, it's refurbished, it's shined up. Every time you get it around the truth, of the Word of God, whether it's preached, whether it's taught, whether it's sung, I don't care. If they're singing the truth, praise God and shine up the armor. The truth. Well, Galatian people, Galatians 3:1, oh foolish Galatians, and I'm afraid we're there most sometimes. Oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? I told you they were bewitched. That ye should not obey. What was their problem? That you should not obey. What were they doing wrong? They were meeting. They were in a group. That ye should not obey the truth. Once we get the truth, why is it that we can turn from it and keep going our pernicious way? Keep thinking just like we always thought. Keep doing what we... Isn't that the definition for just good old-fashioned stupidity? Once you show somebody the truth and they keep doing the same dumb thing because they think they're going to get a different result. Truth. Ephesians 4:21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, be careful, as the truth is in Jesus. Can I say, we're not preaching anybody else to you today. We're preaching Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. The truth is in Jesus, and it's Jesus Christ that we preach, Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the, be careful, and ye've heard it before, where ye heard in the word of truth, the word of truth of the gospel. Well, he just preaches on salvation every day. Thank God you can hear salvation every day. You say, why? It's the truth. And it might bear in your heart and in your mind to go out and tell somebody else the old story that you sing about over and over again and hear preached about over and over again. You say, why? It's the truth. Amen. What do we tell our kids? Honey, just tell me the truth. Daddy won't give you a licking if you tell the truth. Well, I stabbed the cat and it wasn't dead yet, but I had it half skinned out. Get in your room. You're getting a licking. Says that happened. I raised 7 kids. I remember somebody trying to skin a ground squirrel and it is just knocked out. You know, got it knocked out. And then they thought, well, I'll skin it. Well, when they laid the knife to it and got that hide about half peeled off, that thing woke up. Just tell us the truth. We got to quit. Oh, man, I'm way out of time. Man, why didn't you raise the flags? Ring the bell. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for church. Bless preaching. Bless the song service, the offering, all that we do. God, may it bring thee much glory and much honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.